Set your sail for the orange and blue sea. Yarr!
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
This is the Java Men Fighting Illini podcast presented by the Big Banter Network. This is Java Suds. I got a hell of a crew tonight. I got Java Joe. I got Java Shaps. I got Java Doc. What is going on, gentlemen?
It's been a while.
Last episode was before the Big Ten tournament. And if I remember correctly, I forget who the crew was, but I know Joe was on there because there was two people that are on this pod tonight that predicted a Big Ten championship.
And post Sweet 16 run. Let's just say the Peds feeling very vindicated right now.
Yeah. I'm glad to be back. I've been catching, there have been several people who have been waiting for one of these to come out.
So let's do a little recap and we'll get into it. So since we last spoke, we were going into the Big Ten tournament. We all know what happened there. Illini go on an awesome run. We'll talk about that. We win the Big Ten tournament. We go into the NCAA. We earn a 3 seed, which was just absolutely massive. I think we got to talk about that, too. In the NCAA tournament, we take on Morehead State, beat them handily in the second half. Duquesne, which I think might have been the worst opponent that we faced all year.
By far.
In the second round.
they were really bad.
We pound them, and then probably, in my opinion, the game of the year, the most fun I've had, and we had a few Java men in attendance in Boston for that Iowa State game, just an unbelievable victory, until we just run into a buzzsaw of the Huskies, and we all saw what happened there with the 30-0 run. So let's start with the Huskies game. I think it's important. Our first Elite Eight since 2005. Doc, give me some thoughts.
Yeah, my laptop just asked me if I wanted to download the new Java. I don't know.
I'll just keep... That's a sign, Doc. That's a sign.
It's a sign. Yeah, Boston was phenomenal. Going to O'Hare, there was orange everywhere and a handful of guys in red connecting through Chicago via Ames.
I didn't think about that dynamic.
You know, on the phone with their stockbroker hedging corn and pork prices. It was, you know, it was good to be part of, like, there was just so many people going to the game. It was cool. Anyways, we get to the hotel in downtown Boston and ask the concierge if there's anything walkable from the hotel that's, you know, a good spot to grab a drink. It was a really nasty day in Boston. It was raining like the entire time. We're there. The concierge is like, "Do you want to go somewhere nice, or like, what are you looking for?" And I was like, "Well, just looking for something that just like it feels like it's want to feel like we're in Boston." And so she recommends the spot down the street that's authentically Boston. So we're walking over there, and I'm looking it up on the Yelp, and it's
called Cheer.
no, it's called the Tam. It was called the Tam, and it had 0 Yelp stars. So it was a 0 Yelp establishment, very dark, dingy. The smell is indescribable. The only thing I could compare it to is like it was worse than Cam's is the only thing I can.
Everybody know your name?
It was like the clientele in there was to perfection. Like it was like Goodwill Hunting's loser buddies. And so anyways, we had a couple Guinness there and then, you know, transition into a beautiful dinner in the north end of Boston. Best Italian food I can think of in the new...
Sounds amazing.
In the U.S. So lobster ravioli to die for, espresso martini off the charts. And for there, head over to the TD Garden, which is like in the downtown, which it's in like the urban mix. You don't have to take a taxi out to the United Center or whatever. It's pretty sweet. And so... We get there, we're sitting next.
11 p.m. tip off, after dinner, after drinks.
It was past our bedtime.
It was such a late tip-off. And so we get there to watch the second half of UConn. And we're sitting behind a UConn fan that probably about our age, classic UConn fan, heavy cologne, gold chain, jersey with like a white long sleeve, like a waffle shirt under it. Really nice guy. And I kept telling him probably three, maybe four times during the game. And I was dead serious when I was telling him, I'm like, holy crap, this team is phenomenal. It's in person by far the best team I've seen in college basketball. I was like blown away. Every shot of theirs was easy and every shot of San Diego State was super difficult. And I just like couldn't believe what I was watching. And it's funny because...
Hey, Doc, is there truth to the rumor that this gentleman came up to you guys and said, you don't know what you're in for on Saturday? Or was this a different guy?
Oh, I don't.
Brady gave me a similar story.
I don't know if it was that same UConn fan. I don't think it would have been him. But like most of their fans, although they were up 15-20 in the second half, they're like really sweating it out. I'm like, what are you guys worried about? So, anyways, that game ends, and the Illini and the Cyclones come out, and you know the start of the game was just Illini came out really hot, which was awesome, and Iowa State looked just completely overmatched. Especially in that first half, like they couldn't get any offense going, Iowa State, which is what I noticed in person. It was like amazing how they couldn't get any good looks, and everything they got offensively was difficult and like off balance shots. They didn't get any like really good looks through offense. They just don't have like a go-to guy that can go and get their own, which they really struggled with. But in that first half, the Illini missed tons of free throws, which is surprising because, you know, that hasn't been their MO, but they missed a ton of free throws and should have been blowing them out at the half. But unfortunately, they're only up 10. So the second half got really interesting. The highlight of the game for me overall was Dane's behind the back half court maneuver.
Dude, I about lost my mind in the bar when that happened. I went from very high to very low quickly.
In person, it was just hilarious. It was like, whoa, it was perfect. But so the game gets tight in that second half, right? Like the scoring margin narrows and gets really tight. And when Shannon especially got his fourth foul, it was like, oh, then really started to sweat. And so he's on the bench for 5 minutes or so. And it wasn't pretty while he was on the bench, but they did do enough. Damask had a really, really nice like and one off a broken play that was huge. But still, like at one point it was a 2-point game, and a guy in Iowa State, if you remember, goes like length of the court, pretty much wide open layup, and he just finger rolls it off the back rim. Yeah. And I remember looking over at the other Java men just like, oh, I can't believe he missed that, because that was about to tie it.
To tie the game. Yeah, that was huge.
That was about to tie it, but Shannon comes in and back in the game with, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes left, and he just dominates. Like he caught a ball off his shoestrings and just drilled a three. And his steal to seal the deal at the end was just beautiful. We were kind of seated in the corner, and so he was like coming at us on that layup. And so when he poked that ball away, the ball was just like coming towards us. And when he poked that ball, like the crowd just erupted and went nuts. So it was a lot of fun. So anyways, buzzer sounds on the end of that game, walking out of the stadium, the energy was like sky high, which was so sick. And so we continue on to another establishment, but it was like 1 a.m., so we could only stop by for a minute. And so basically, we were calling the hotel staff downstairs at like 2:30 in the morning for like a 5:30 wake up. So that, but it didn't matter. It was like, this is awesome. And so caught the early flight back home, and it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal game.
You're just on adrenaline at that point. Like, you're not even tired. You're just ready to roll. And then you probably on Sunday, it finally hits you after.
Oh, no. So I had the day off on Friday. And instead of like taking a nap when my kids napped, which I should have, I just rewatched the second half of the game. Because they had the A team on the call.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Joe, give me some thoughts.
I wish I would have recorded that game because I was out. I was in Hilton Head for a team meeting, so I played golf that afternoon and had a really nice dinner overlooking the water. Watched with a Clemson fan who won. We had money on Clemson. I had three martinis at dinner. So the third one was an espresso, and so I was ready for the game. So we went to like an outdoor bar and watched it, danced a little bit during halftime. And yeah, I honestly wish I would have recorded it because I was such like a high low, like adrenaline, alcohol induced, like just rush. It was hard to like focus on like, you know, the X's and O's as we all like to talk about. And, but it was just that they just made big plays after big plays. And I was pumped. Some guys at the bar had bet on Iowa State and they were like getting all pissed at me. Or like someone said something to me. I'm like, wait, why are you saying, are you a fan? He's like, no, we bet on Iowa State. I'm like get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And then my buddy who I work with is like, dude, calm down. I was like, no, I'm not going to let a guy like diminish my fandom because he bet on the other team. So anyways,
especially a guy with, especially a guy with a podcast on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have told him, I have a podcast.
No, I didn't say that.
They'd be like, okay. I get it.
We didn't gain a listener that night. But no, it was great. I mean, there's not much to say. That was peak Illini fandom probably was that evening that we'd been waiting a long time for that. Unfortunately I was feeling good about going into the next game, but there was a lot of hope after that game. Like Final Four could happen. Little did we know it was never in the cards, but for that moment, we had Scottsdale in our sights.
Oh man,
I think that winning against Iowa State was like when the program arrived nationally.
Yeah,
like we felt like they arrived when Iowa was there, but like we're probably the only ones that felt feel like that. But now I think it's everyone recognizes.
Yeah, I think that was massive for this upcoming year for the transfer portal, getting to the Elite Eight. And Iowa State, I mean, Chaps, I think you tweeted this. That was the biggest win since UCLA year before, Texas the year before. I mean, just from a
our
analytical ranking perspective.
Yeah, it was the best. It was the best opponent that we had beaten, since UCLA at least. But obviously, this win was way way bigger because of where it was in the Sweet 16.
And they were just like, on that night, where they were playing, they'd beat Iowa State 10 out of 10 times. Maybe out of 10 times, they beat them 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
But like on that night, they were just way better, which is awesome.
Yeah, you were spot on, Doc. I mean, from my vantage point at EPI, which was a blast, by the way. I was going wild. Iowa State just was not taking good shots.
They couldn't get them. Like it's not like they were choosing to take bad shots. They didn't have an offense that could get them like good looks, and so they had just ended up with so many bad, like having to shoot, and it was not pretty. And then looking back, I watched the halftime report on replay, and it was one of the guys in the studio that it was just like, I don't know what they're doing, like.
Oh, you mean like Iowa State offensively?
Yeah, and like the TNT halftime, they're like, I just don't know what they're doing out there offensively. It might have been Bruce Pearl, actually.
We should have been up 18 at half.
15 to 18. If they shot good free throws, they'd be up 18. If they shot okay free throws, they'd be up 15. Instead, they're up 10. They missed so many.
Yeah, we let them hang around, but one play in that game, and then Chaps, I'll pass it to you for the UConn game. But it was a beautiful thing to see was when Goody got that ball on the wing and he fake passed to the corner and just fired with confidence and drilled that three.
Goody, wow, that was clutch.
I haven't seen that Luke Goody, I don't think, all season. Like, maybe when TJ was out and Goody was starting, he was playing with more confidence. But we were talking about, you know, before all this, like Goody cannot be on the court the last 5 minutes. I mean, I think that holds true to an extent, but Goody was playing really good where maybe it did make sense that he was in to close it out. Dane, that might have been a different story on those couple defensive possessions at the end. But Goody was playing with such confidence And that was a game changer for me. And he was huge.
Well, yeah, he improved his offense, and he wasn't a liability on defense, which has been his main
issue.
That
was huge.
And he actually stepped up his rebounding, I would say. Like, he got more difficult rebounds in the last few games than he did before. So, like, he rebounded, he didn't get taken advantage of defensively, and he was confident on offense, and he just belonged to be out there. I would have wanted him to get, like, 9 minutes a game going into it, but, like, he earned 25.
Yeah, I think Iowa State was probably a good matchup for him because, like you said, Doc, Iowa State just didn't have the offensive players. So Goody just, he couldn't be on an island defensively because they didn't have that guy who could just take him one-on-one. So that worked huge in our favor. Shaps, we gotta talk about the UConn game, man. I know we're feeling good off that Iowa State win, but what were your thoughts about that Elite Eight matchup?
I can't get over the fact that Joe doesn't automatically record Illinois games, first off.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's insane. Dude,
what is going on with that?
Do you have that capability?
Normally I do.
Should have every game saved right now.
Dude.
Still.
No, I don't know on Hulu if you I'm sure you can record ongoing, but I have Hulu TV, and I just usually I could do it from my phone if I'm not at home, and I was on the golf course. Forgot.
Dude, I got the YouTube TV and it's set. It knows record everything Illinois. So that one threw me for a loop. Because the funniest part of the Iowa State game, real quick, was just Van Gundy at the end of the game just going, why do they have Dane Danger on the court? Iowa State should just be fouling him every single play.
In the stands, the Java men in the stands were all just like, what's he doing in the game?
I was
texting it to the group. I'm like, what is happening right now? We're about to lose a Sweet 16 game because we can't make a free throw. So that was absolutely...
Well, did you hear what Stan was saying? Stan had a great suggestion where, I guess they do this in the NBA now. I don't watch a lot of NBA, but he was saying that as soon as Iowa State throws... or shoots a three, they should immediately foul Dane.
Just run into
him. Just run into him. Because then if it goes in, it counts still. Because that actually happened earlier in the game, if you remember, with TJ's three. But if it goes in, it counts, and then Dane's going to the line with no time coming off the court, which is actually genius.
I can't believe he was in.
Yeah.
Which he's not as bad as he used to be on the line, but like you need to replace him with someone that's better. Like,
and then he fouled on that three too, which was rough. But Chaps, I cut you off. Go ahead, man.
No, that's my fault. We're moving on to the UConn game. We knew we had to play perfect going into that game to beat the juggernaut of UConn. But we did everything possibly wrong, it seemed like, right from the beginning. Didn't agree with the game plan. And then the fact that we couldn't make a shot for our lives is
except
really
for
what
Damask.
Caused this to be just, well, yeah, I guess so. To be a complete blowout once it reached the second half, because Hurley is a very, very good coach. He's a psychopath. He's a very good coach. And I texted... I think went during halftime, I said, this is exactly where UConn just pommels teams.
Yeah,
I
mean, you did.
If you've watched other UConn games, which I've watched a bunch of their games, and like teams will hang with them in the first half, like, cause they'll, you know, bring the energy and like all that. And then Hurley, you know, makes a few tweaks, and then, you know, by the under 16 timeout, like they're up.
Well, that was 12. San Diego State. That's what we saw when
the exact same
we were
thing,
at the TD Garden. They just at that point in the game, they just steamrolled them.
Right. So it was fresh in most people's minds, and you know, I didn't agree with some of Brad's decisions. He should not have started Ty in the second half. I kind of thought the game was over when Ty stepped out onto the court to start the second half. Ty came out like not even 2 minutes into the second half. Brad took him out, but we were already down by 12 at that point. We were down by 5 at halftime, instantly down by like 12, and then disaster after that. So, I don't know if, I mean, I wish it wasn't the most embarrassing run, basically, in the history of college basketball. But it certainly didn't make it all that painful that, like, oh, it was, like, one or two things that we did, you know, down the stretch to, like, blow the game. It wasn't very stressful. I mean, once the run started, the game was over. So,
once it got to a
quick death, I guess.
15 points, you knew, is like, well, they're not going to come back from that much.
against this team.
0-for-19.
0-for-19. That was like a bad dream.
Against the Klingon at the rim.
Sheps, you said something, though, which I think, I don't know if I necessarily agree with, but it was, you know, a lot of people said this, where in order for us to win, we would have had to play the perfect game. And I don't know if we needed to play the perfect game, but I think the players came out with that mentality, and that just totally screwed them up. Because it just seemed like they didn't come out with, maybe in the first half when they tied it, but when UConn started to go on that run, it just seemed like they totally panicked. Yeah. And it was almost like it just totally snowballed. And there has not been 1 ounce of panic from the Illini really all year. I mean, we were down way early in the season to Purdue by 20. We came back. Think about the Big Ten tournament. We came back from 10 against Ohio State, 15 against Nebraska, double digits against Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And there was not 1 ounce of panic, and it just felt different. And I feel like you're playing the number one team, but you can't be afraid. And I just felt like we played afraid.
Yeah, and there's a few things with that. First off, UConn is not, you know, Wisconsin. Like,
I get that, dude, but we also were down. Weren't we down 8-0 and we came back? They just told us
9-0 to start the game. Not, yeah. But
I don't,
here's the thing.
And Klingon went out.
Well, yeah.
And then we got back in the game.
UConn did not make a single shot in the first half, basically. We should have been up by double digits at halftime.
Well, yeah, we played good defense, though.
Our defense was good. No, you're right. But they also were not making any shots at all. And so it's one thing in the second half to give up, you know, a 10-0 run, 12-0 run like that. That shit happens all the time. But to give up a 30-0 run, you literally have to shit your pants.
Yeah,
like, they allow that to happen. Like, everything has. Yeah, you have to panic. You have to get scared. You know, you have to, like, go. Just everything goes against you. Like, you don't change anything about what you're doing. Like, it's really hard to allow a 30-0 run.
Yeah, and part of it too, I think, is like, well, first of all, everything went wrong, but it's also deer in headlights insofar as, like, there was probably a fatigue factor there where, you know, you're playing at midnight, just like a very, very close game that goes down to the wire. You're not rested. I do think there was fatigue involved. Like, you never see, they haven't been beat up on in any game this year. What was, like, their biggest margin of loss? Like, they didn't get beat up on ever. So they'd never experienced something like that. And to see Shannon, like, not take over or just, like, make some stuff happen on his own, I just don't think he had, like, what he needed legs wise to do that. Because truly, I believe if they were playing UConn in round of in the Sweet 16, they would have put up a better fight. But I don't think they had the energy, especially once it started to snowball on them. Because, like, that, you haven't seen that from them all year. Granted, it was the best team they played. Like, nobody, like, for them to lose by 25, it almost doesn't make sense. Like, everything had to go wrong, and I think they were tired.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's clear that Hawkins' knee was bothering him. And I don't know if guys were necessarily tired. I think there were nicks and injuries that probably. So when you have, like, an ache or pain, right?
Damask,
and you're tired, it hurts more.
Damask played well, but he looked like he was tired. Like, they were putting so much responsibility on him. He missed one layup at the glass, and then his guy just torches him down court. And you watch him, he's like, oh. He's like, I couldn't make it down the court and get it. Like, he doesn't get burned down the court like that. Like, he just got burned because he's tired.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Hawkins like was short on all his threes. His knee, he didn't have as much lift in his knee. Like that's a huge, he needed to be lights out from three. Yeah. Cause Ty Rodgers shouldn't have started in the second half. I agree, but he only played 8 minutes and all they were doing was clinging on Guerriere who wasn't making threes. And Hawkins like clearly didn't have his legs hurt or tired, whatever you want to call it. Like those two alone, if they're not making threes, we're done. We're toast. Because the teams that have kept it close with UConn in any meaningful games have been St. John's in the Big East tournament. They lost by 5. They scored 90 points and they made 11 threes, 11 for 22. If we were not going to make threes, we were never. And there's where I disagree. To me, you cannot go into a game banking on trying to hit 50% or above threes. You have to have a strategy. You can't have a strategy to hope you make a higher percentage you normally make. The strategy is to go at Klingon with the best bucket getter and one in college basketball who draws fouls more than almost anyone from a wing. Take him at Klingon and get him in foul trouble. Or like get the what one Javaman said, Jube said, was get him moving in space. And I heard Latulip say the same thing. That makes a lot of sense too. So I think from a scheme standpoint, Brad could have probably drawn something up there. But you know, a lot of our offense was number one efficiency offense at that time was ISO ball and getting guys in ball screens. And so it's tough. But to say that the game plan going into it was wrong is just not accurate. Literally the only game UConn lost this year was when Klingon was in foul trouble in the first half and the other team made 50% of threes. So to say the game plan was the wrong game plan to go at him is not true. To say he didn't switch from the game plan, didn't pivot off of it, instead of pivoting off of it, let's say 24 minutes into the game, should have pivoted off of it 16 minutes in the game, I can get on board with that. But to say the game plan was wrong going into it, that's literally the only way they've lost this calendar year. So it snowballed in the second half. Yeah. It is what it is. We missed shots, but I don't disagree with the game plan going into it.
I agree with you. The game plan didn't work. Like they didn't go at him and try to get fouls on him the right way enough. Like when Shannon's going to the basket, he's kind of going off to the side of the rim and moving laterally, yeah, like instead of going onto the rim. And when Guerriere tried to dunk, it might have been a foul, it might have been a clean block, but like they just failed in trying to get the guy in foul trouble. But I agree with you that it's not a bad plan. Not adjusting, that's a bad move, and I agree with your point on that as well. So the Peds remains aligned.
Klingon is one of the best defensive college basketball players I've ever seen in my life. He's unbelievable.
He didn't make any mistakes.
He literally, like, for him to contest 19 shots and have one foul for the game, the refs wilder would whistle a little bit, but a lot of it was all clean for the most part. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, they didn't go about it correctly. Like, no. I think what Jube said is like you let him stand under the rim and go straight up. Like that's what he's best at. Yeah. So they didn't attack him the right way. But I don't mind the idea of attacking him.
Yeah, same. So Jube had a good suggestion, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up here because he was talking about it all night at Perenni's. So Ty Rodgers was basically roaming free the whole entire game that he was in on offense. I don't think Ty Rodgers was screening at all. So Jubes made a great point in that literally, like, why would you? Ty Rodgers brings up the ball. He has nobody near him. And then he does a ball screen to either Domask or Ty. And then Ty with TJ, right? Like, TJ would have free reign to pull up at the top of the key or do pull up at the free throw line for a jumper. Like, why would that not work every time? Like, nobody was on Ty Rodgers at all. Klingon was literally sitting in the lane. So they could have, for 10 straight possessions, they could have ran this and TJ could have had 10 shots at the top of the key with nobody until
well, that's why we kind of somebody all agree. Came up. Well, that's why, wait, why we all on. Agree that Ty hold shouldn't on. Have been in the game, right? Because they weren't. Well, doing so
but no, but Ty, him. But Ty, but that almost could work to your advantage because Ty could just set a screen. He has free range to set a screen on anyone, and nobody could help because Kleen was camping out. So yeah. there'd be no help after you set the screen.
That's right. I'd have to so watch, you literally, but I trust you on that.
You yeah, come crazy. Up, you come up off the screen and you just fire until you force them to play different defensively. But we weren't doing that at all. We would just go straight at Kleen, which, again, I don't disagree until that happens five times and it's not working.
Right.
Then just you have to fire at the top of the key or you have to pull up from the elbow and take the jump shot.
Yeah,
and TJ's the guy that could do that.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I think Ty, he had, I don't think there's anything wrong with starting Ty and going at Klingon and dishing off to Ty and seeing if Ty can finish. Ty had some Kleen, it's not like he got blocked every time. He had some Kleen layups that he just missed. He missed some tipping offensive rebounds. Like he just missed and wasn't on. And whether it's scheme or the fact that he just wasn't on, he shouldn't have started in the second half for either one of those reasons. And that was really, that was disappointing for sure. But it's just, it's almost like, hey, you know, UConn's defense is probably the best. They're playing really well. So it's probably the best defense we've seen all year. And they play drop coverage. They're forcing tough twos.
Exactly.
They're forcing draft tough coverage, twos, running people off the three-point line. They ran TSJ off the three-point line, force tough twos, and make a
But how do you beat
shots.
Drop coverage, Joe? You got to do a floater or pull up.
We don't
didn't do
have
that
guys
one time.
That are do that. We don't have guys that do that because that's not in the analytics.
TJ can't pull up from the free throw line?
He can hit a 12-footer, but he missed his floater that he tried.
He did do one floater he missed, but
which
he
that floater is definitely not
throw.
A shot. He doesn't do the floater.
Yeah. He should have,
but he should have been
throw,
taking elbow jumpers for sure because he's good at those. But he just wasn't. He just didn't have it. I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
like he missed all the shots that he did take.
It's just crazy to me that Kleen was literally. You're literally. I hadn't thought about this because I was so on like the Ty Rogers should not play 1 minute this game train, but like that should be such an advantage to have a guy who's literally just. Roaming free to set screens. That's such an advantage. Like
a guy like him too can really he has good size and he can really move. Yeah.
And like set screens. Like you set a screen and who's gonna step up to trap or like hedge? Nobody's there.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would have mattered, but that's fine. I know that's fine. But I feel like if it was that easy, a lot of teams would do that and have figured it out.
Well, you can't do it in the NBA because you would shoot.
We would still play like an NBA offense. We weren't making shots. It would be nice if we could play the game over again and do that, but in the same game, we weren't making shots, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, you still have to make shots like, because on the other end, you're undersized defensively.
Yeah, you have to make shots.
That's what snowballed. Like the 30-0 run's tough. It's a tough look.
Yeah.
It's hard to swallow. But, we shot, 12 threes during that run. We missed all of them. We crashed the offensive boards. We didn't get the offensive rebound, and off they were running. They didn't even have to try very hard to get any points or, to get any buckets. They were just all in a lot of them were in transition or when our defense wasn't set. And it was just way too easy. That's what happens when you miss shots. Like, I would say we played great defensively. It's just that our offense was so bad that it led to the defense not being able to get set. But when the defense was set, I thought it had a good game plan. And part of it maybe was UConn just wasn't on. Like that is what's also disappointing is we did have a chance in the first half that. But to Shaps's point, teams hang around the first half and then they blow them out in the second half. So even if we were up a couple buckets, like would it have mattered? If Klingon was in foul trouble, it would have mattered.
Klingon's so good, man. I think Klingon's going to shut down Edie.
Yeah, that would be interesting to watch because Purdue games are not interesting to watch, but that one would be.
He's so good, man. I was shocked. But
yeah, me, Chapop and I can agree on the fact that Purdue's really painful to watch, but that would be the one Purdue game I would watch.
UConn's good, man. This felt like the Illini team, and we just ran into probably a team of a decade.
Yeah,
like the last decade. Right?
I found it interesting. A lot of the analysts.
You think so?
There were.
No, I mean like UConn's the best team in the last 10 years.
I can't think of a better one.
They're the best team since that Florida team.
Yeah, I can't think of. There's just no way they're gonna lose.
They're so good.
And if they go back to back like this, then yeah, they're up there with the Florida for sure. Which is what, 2007, or I don't know when that was.
We had a great draw until UConn. We had an awesome draw to get. We had an awesome draw to get to the Elite Eight, and then we had a horrible, 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 horrible draw to get to the Final Four. And that's a fact. We played literally like even when Brad. This is the problem. Even when Brad has amazing luck, like he had in this year's tournament, basketball gods still can't let him have it because they gave him the best team in the last 20 years to get to the Final Four.
There is nothing like the
Illini. Look at the other teams aside from Purdue in that Elite Eight and then kind of Tennessee as well. Like, you'd be fine playing any of those teams and feel like you have a good shot to win. You knew even as well as Illini were playing going into UConn, you're like, yeah, they probably beat him like 1 in 10 times. That's what I was telling. Yeah. I was like, maybe 1 time in 10 they'll beat him. And you knew that. Especially after seeing him in person, you knew how good UConn was. So that's bad luck. But Brad will keep getting at bats, which we know.
Watching Duke, NC State, I was like, oh my God, we would beat these teams.
Oh, for sure. I think we would have beat Bama and North Carolina too.
Yeah, it's just Purdue you probably lose to, and Tennessee is probably a coin flip. But I think you beat the other teams.
Oates. Let's see how Oates plays it.
We're going to see.
That'll be the test.
They have a different roster. We're going to see.
Do they have 5 shooters?
I think Jamie and sometimes late at night looks up old Nate Oates videos and stats, team stats.
If you look
6 years ago,
it's Nate Oates.
He was like 7 years ago, he was coaching high school, or he was teaching high school math. Did you know that?
Yes.
All right, enough. Should we have anything else, or should we just move on to the...
move on. But hey, first off, Elite Eight. Come on, boys.
Yeah.
Elite Eight, Brad Underwood. Round of applause for
this year.
Brad. Big Ten champions of the tournament. What a year. I thank you, Brad is right. That Iowa State game, that was the most fun I have had watching a sporting event in the last 5 years. I can't even maybe game 3 White Sox against the Astros when I was banging in the trash can in Vegas. That was the last time I had that much fun. But it was unbelievable. Like that's what we live for. I was FaceTiming you, Doc, when you guys were in Boston. Jubes called me after the game. It was just every part of that night was amazing. Like, I woke up Friday and just... That's when you know the adrenaline's pumping. You're just fired up for the Elite Eight game, and that's why we love sports. I was hoping to see you boys in Scottsdale, but what did we say on the last podcast? What have we been saying all year? What's a successful year?
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. We exceeded expectations. Brad's off the hook. He's officially got a lifetime contract. He's put us back on the map. Dollar bills. Talk to me about this season. How do you feel?
I had to take a deep breath there. I'm going to talk about this season, but it just reminds me of all of the wonderful moments when I've had to text to the Javamin text chain, I need a shower. There's just been so many moments through Io, Kobe, and Trent. It's just unbelievable entertainment. So proud to be a Fighting Illini, as a huge college basketball fan. It's been so much heartbreak, but Brad like brought it back, and like there were a few heartbreak moments, but mostly bad draws in the tournament. So that's why I was like, it's okay, Brad. You know, Brad will learn. Brad will get better. And we saw early signs of that in around Christmas time when our offensive efficiency started taking off. It's like, whoa, where did this come from? Our offense is usually garbage. And it just kept getting better and better to where by the end of the season, we're like, our offense is so damn good. This team as a whole is so likable. You know, the transfer portal's tough in some ways. But in other ways, like Marcus Domask was a Fighting Illini. He might be for 2 years. That dude is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like the way he doesn't get sped up. Like everyone else got sped up and freaked out against UConn. Marcus Domask really didn't. So it was just such a joy to watch. Terrence Shannon, probably the single best season any Illini has ever had.
Joe, real quick, because you made me think of this. Would you agree with this assessment? Team MVP, obviously Shannon, but Offensive Player of the Year, Domask. What do you think about that?
Yeah,
I think Domask was the reason we were number one.
Points.
Yeah, but don't you think part of that was because of Domask being able to draw double team? Like Domask just opened everything up.
I agree.
Yeah.
By being able to go one on one.
Point guard that we needed. We also needed a point guard, and he ended up being the point guard that we needed. So
yeah, they have to both win it. Like, cause you.
Yeah.
What was Shannon the most points in a Illini season ever? Is that correct? We're missing six games and running no offense for him. So it's like it doesn't even make sense. Like how he scored that
crazy
many points, crazy. And the fact, I mean, those are the two best offensive seasons I can remember on the same team. It's amazing. Hey, so Alabama lights it up from three.
On its own was insane.
Yeah,
for Shannon, he scored 102 points in three games. He's the second all time leading scorer in the Big Ten in a single Big Ten tournament. All the other leaders had played four games. He only played three, and he's second all time.
He was unbelievable. Yeah, the Big Ten hanging a banner for the Big Ten tournament's cool. Brad Underwood's making that a regularity, having some sort of Big Ten title. And then just like the feeling of the Sunday of the Sweet 16 to the Thursday when we played in the Elite Eight, just all the coverage, just nonstop coverage, just being so proud to like, you know, at work, at, you know, in and around the neighborhood, like everyone's like, oh man, the Illini look good. Like it's just a great feeling. You're just flying high. It's like we weren't walking for 5 days. It's like we were a little bit above ground. It's an unbelievable feeling. And you know what? One day that feeling will come for the Final Four, and we will all be there, and it'll all culminate. Hopefully it'll be sooner. I have a feeling with Brad it'll be sooner rather than later, but what a wonderful, entertaining season. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, TJ. Thank you, Coleman. Thank you, Io. Thank you, Kofi. Thank you, Trent. None of this happens without those guys.
Thank you, April.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. There
Josh
you go.
Josh might be the real hero here.
Hit a home run with the women's coach as well.
Spy, what about that Big Ten run, man?
That was one of the most unbelievable. Remember when we went to the tournament senior year and Evan Turner just like hit like three game winners and completely took over that tournament?
It was like that.
Terrence Shannon did that and it was like 10 times better. Like, I actually thought I would see like Evan Turner on that all-time scoring list, but he actually wasn't in the top. Shannon just completely blew him away. He was the best player in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament. He was the best player in the NCAA tournament the first weekend as well. So it was nice for him to finally get that attention that he long deserved. It's unfortunate that it had to end the way it did for him with you know, having an off night. But it doesn't change the fact that he had one of the greatest seasons in Illinois history. And credit to Brad. Brad put together a very good roster. and he definitely improved. This was his best coaching job over the course of the season, for sure. All we wanted was the second weekend. So the squad stood down. Brad's got the lifetime contract. Now it's portal season.
Portal season.
So Alabama plays like the fastest. They're one of the fastest paced teams, and they just light it up from three. So it'll be an interesting game to watch. Mark Sears takes most of their threes. He shoots 43%. He's just blazes.
Who's that? Sears?
Sears.
Yeah, Sears is good.
Latul made a good point that Alabama's off. Like, we both have really good offenses, but their guys can create a little bit more off the dribble and shoot in rhythm off the dribble, whereas a lot of our guys are catch and shoot.
Yeah.
So that he thinks that they have a better, well, I mean, it's easy to say that when we went on 30 over. They have a better shot than we did.
Yeah, I bet they will do better.
But we had a good
that
game
probably,
plan.
Yeah, it plays into
the game
why...
plan wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, you guys made that loud and clear.
The adjustment wasn't made. I agree.
It was a failure.
No, it was a good game plan. We were down 9-0 in a minute, but it was a good game plan.
Yeah, and then they got the foul, and then he went out, and then we tied it.
And then they tied it. And then
that's the whole point.
That was crazy. 23-23, we tied it. What happened?
There was a lot of
diplomatical runs.
Oh, so it's onto the portal.
Yeah, and then we didn't get the second foul, so then it became just an okay
game. I thought
we
moved on, but...
We got to give it up.
We moved on to the portal.
That's fair.
We moved on to the portal. And hey, so Damask hired counsel. He hired an attorney. He wants to come back.
Damask.
This is very mean of him, like, giving us hope like this. But I don't know. You never know. Maybe we'll get some more luck in the court system.
Is there any chance? So Domask, I think he's got a legitimate shot to win that. Is there any chance
Coleman?
You base that Coleman,
on like nothing, Liz.
Yeah, based on what?
What's Nick Senior saying about the case? That's what I want to know. Our
legal what are you talking about? I was telling you about this guy earlier. He got totally effed with that 33% rule.
So apparently there was a football player on the Illini that had like the same situation, and he was granted.
Did he get denied?
No, he got it.
Yeah,
sixth year.
There's precedent. All right, where's Java Edge?
We need our legal correspondent.
He got totally screwed. He was out for the year. It was official. He was out for the year. He was gonna miss more. He was gonna play in less than 33% of the games, and then because the season got canceled, he ended up playing in what 50% of the games. That's bullshit. The season was over for him. So just because the season got canceled doesn't mean it should nullify a year when, had COVID not happened, he would have got another year of eligibility.
I mean, it would be, he's like an all-American. Like, there's very few people that can do what he does.
Dude, he was the reason.
He's so good. Was he first team all Big Ten? I mean, he's
all Big
as
Ten.
Good as they come in college basketball. Like, who else plays like that? It's phenomenal.
I know you guys laughed about him being offense player of the year, but like, I think there's a lot of truth to him. Like, he was the reason we could run the offense the way we did. Like, literally, if he wasn't double teamed, he would score every time. So as soon as he got double teamed, it opened it up for the whole team. It just changed everything. There was very few players that could take him one on one.
And there are very few games that like once they figured out the system, like, he hardly ever got shut down. Like, he did it on pretty much everyone.
Yeah. So if we get that going to next year and we get a Badger coming down to Champaign, I don't know. Look out.
Good, baby.
What about Coleman, though? Coleman could get guaranteed half a mil.
No, he's gone.
He said he's done.
He's going to leave a half a mil on the table?
He's joining the football team.
I don't know.
I heard
man.
He was going to go out to the football field.
You see him and Bielema tweeting at each other?
I did see that. So you guys think no shot for Coleman coming back? Zero. Nothing.
10%.
10%. All right. I'll take that. I'm a gambling man. Fine. Joe likes to roll the bones. You never know, man. Maybe he gets bad feedback. That's what happened last year, right? Would you? I mean, we would definitely want Coleman back for the fifth year, right?
Oh, you know I do. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he's an all Big Ten player. Like, he...
Yeah. Was he?
No, but...
Oh, huh.
So, DeBass...
Wait, no, he was all defensive team, though, right?
Hawkins. No, I don't think.
Five-star you're coming in.
I could have sworn. I could have sworn, because everyone told me...
I thought he was going to be defensive player of the year.
All defensive... Yeah,
Some Illini fans are so delusional that we were dead last in defense, but they had like three guys on the first team all defense.
Yeah, Sincere was all defense, even though he redshirted.
No, we had Coleman, TJ, and Ty. Defense.
Dude, you need him. He is a winning player, dude. He's really good.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
No, I love Coleman. I was saying that in jest.
And it, like, if, especially like, massive. He wants to play the four. He doesn't want to play fucking center.
If Coleman comes back and we got a stretch five in the portal, look out.
Oh, if they got the Stanford guy?
Yeah.
Or the Russian? They're not going to get the Russian, but Russian's probably going to Michigan.
From FAU?
Yeah.
Vlad? Joe, who's your starting five next year? Well, I'm asking you.
All right, my starting five next year is the dude from Stanford, dude, Coleman Hawkins.
Maxime.
Coleman Hawkins, AJ Storr.
Domask.
And...
Ty, right?
Dre Gibbs.
Get Dre.
I don't know. He's not getting a starting spot on my roster. Maybe the dude that we just got.
Oh,
the ginger
Jack Davis.
No, we probably need a
shooter. You're not starting Ty, Joe. Guard.
Oh, what about what happened to Ty?
I'm not starting. How are
you? You're not starting. I think Joe. You have to start Ty.
Yeah, Joe.
Now
you're out
not
on Ty.
Well, I guess yeah. Can that big guy shoot?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, Maxime.
Yeah,
not starting Ty.
I'm starting
the guy. The guy we don't know his name, but he's starting next
year.
Yeah,
I'm starting Ty. You're right. You're right.
That lineup would be sick.
My rotation's gonna be. Well, the tough thing about that is I don't know how you're gonna get minutes for our five star coming in. What's his name?
Morez. He's gonna get minutes.
Morez.
Yeah.
Yeah. My starting. They gave him a starting spot. So my starting five are gonna be Morez, the dude from. I think Coleman's moving on. Morez, the dude from Stanford, AJ Storr, Marcus Domask, and Ty Rogers.
His name is Jake Davis.
The ginger
Jake
curly?
Davis is, Jake Davis's rotation along
with... I don't
with
know if it's ginger.
DGL.
But...
And Sincere. And Amani.
And Goody.
Goody's gone?
Yeah, those are the rotation guys.
Goody's gone?
Yeah, is Goody retiring or what?
Might be gone.
They replaced him.
With what? With the Mercer guy?
Yeah.
I don't think so, dude. If I'm Goody, I'm thinking I'm going to play ahead of that guy. Don't you?
Brad's thinking that too. If
Goody.
But that guy might be playing 5 minutes a game next year.
So then DGL's a nine guy on the bench?
No, that guy could be coming in to be the ninth guy. Do you think he's going to come in and play more than Goody if Goody stays?
There's only one ball.
Not initially.
We're not getting a Stanford guy, are we? Is that actually like a legitimate shot?
There's enough room for nine guys.
If I'm Goody, I think I can play over that guy.
Non-conference, yeah.
Really? You guys think that guy could leapfrog Goody?
He's pretty good. I mean, he.
What do you do?
He's a guy.
More guys are leaving. It'll all work itself out.
Yeah,
It'll
people
all
will
work itself.
Leave.
Why are we talking about starting lineups right now?
Because I wanted to see Joe's starting lineup.
It's pretty fun. Why don't you go next? I like my starting five. I think that has
pretty good
starting final four this year.
Where is it next? Yeah, let's book some flights, Joe.
That's a pretty
it's
good starting
San
five.
Antonio.
San Antonio, beautiful. The Alamo.
Yeah, we'll remember it. Can we, yeah, we're going to have a lot of Portal talk, but we do have to do a special Castaways, so we got to hit the music here.
All right, hit it. Spy.
Cast him.
We got to say goodbye to the dancing bear. Dane Danger. I know he holds a special place in a lot of people's hearts. There was a lot of noise about him getting more minutes. Oh, he should be out there. We got to get Dane out there more. Unfortunately, Dane didn't really fit what Brad was trying to do this year. Brad finally came around to the fact that we're much, much better with Coleman at the five, playing to our strengths. Love Dane. We don't win the Big Ten tournament without Dane. There's no question about that. That was awesome to watch him kind of have that moment. And he was also fortunate we got to play Morehead State and Duquesne in the first two games.
Morehead State, that performance, that was a top five performance by an Illini in the last 5 years. No exaggeration. He was 9 for 9. He was hitting fadeaways. Are you kidding me?
He didn't miss a shot the first weekend.
He was electric.
My father-in-law called me after that, Ohio State fan, after that Big Ten tournament game, and he's like, that Dania.
For so many people that like watched Illinois for the first time, they he's were like, "You knew who is this guy? Is he?" He's going like right Shannon. To the he's NBA? Like,
yeah. He's like Shannon. You knew what he was gonna do, but that Dania, he dominated. He just killed him. He fouled all of them out.
He dominated.
He dominated for like four games.
Yeah, he was so good.
So happy for Dane. Best of luck to Dane. We will certainly miss him.
He's gonna make some money. Chaps. Yeah, someone's gonna on Evan Mayakawa's like portal board. He's up there.
Good for Dane.
He's gonna get some cash.
To see where he lands. Like, does he stay?
He went to Memphis today.
Yeah. Does he stay? Like, I could see him at like the American Conference or something like that. You know.
Like, how about the Blue Demons?
Do some damage there.
Stay low.
The Blue Demon, Big East.
Yeah. Facing Big East teams. Yeah, that would go really well for him.
If I'm him though, I need to guarantee myself 25, 30 minutes if I'm him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I.
He's got to. Yeah, he's got to go where they.
Yeah, he needs to go somewhere where he's going to put up big minutes and score a ton of points. So it'll be interesting to see. But obviously Brad, you know, I think Dane saw the writing on the wall that, like, you know, even though Coleman's probably not coming back, I think Brad wants to stick with, like, you know, having the versatile five. Like, Imani is obviously versatile guy. Merez can step out. Like,
can he?
So yeah.
Okay, nice.
He can, and he'll continue to get better at that too, because he doesn't have to do that a lot, obviously, in high school. But yeah, I think those guys are more the mold now. So best of luck to Dane.
Thank you, Dane.
Thank you, Dane.
Thank you, Dane.
The dancing bear.
Yeah, and we'll see.
Cue the music one last time for the dancing bear.
Dancing bear that follows him around, and he lifts his big foot up, he puts his big foot down, then bows, then twirls, and dances round and round.
It's gonna kill me to have to delete that sample from the Java Men pod.
The other huge portal news that just dropped this evening, Sky is back in the Big Ten.
Oh my God.
I almost can't believe that Mick Cronin signed Sky Clark.
What is he doing?
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, he's going to have to start going into the office 3-4 days a week at least.
Yeah, that's not a good fit.
How long is he going to last on Mick Cronin's team?
1 year. I'm guaranteeing it now. He will be gone from UCLA after next year.
Why does he make it through the year is the question.
Isn't Mick Cronin like Brad Underwood times two? I don't get it.
Yeah, dude.
I think Brad, I don't know. Did Sky play well against them in Vegas?
I don't think he played bad.
He wasn't horrible.
He didn't play bad, but really Shannon won the game.
He was just okay. It was Sincere that came in and shut down.
Yeah, Tiger. Sincere sparked it.
I think Sky's hair just reminds Mick of Tiger. So that could be playing a role in it. Sky didn't work out so well at Louisville.
I can't believe
He got it. He got a lot of points at Louisville, and they were the worst,
worst Louisville team ever.
Yeah. Oh man.
And then now he heads out west, so he's been all over the place. He'll be somewhere else, I'm sure, the following year. I think he went to 4 different high schools. He's been to 3 different colleges now. But best of luck to Sky.
Yeah, they come and they go. I think it's like AJ Store. He just kind of goes everywhere. So hopefully he goes to Champaign. I don't know though. Nice. Do you want to blow it all on do you guys want to blow it all on Store? He is really good.
Is there a cap?
Yeah, well let's say you have
Let's
say you can trade $1 million for Store or 2 really good players.
I'm not paying $1 million for Store.
Do we have
so you want two
do we
player.
Have Damask? Do we have Damask, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, based on your legal opinion, it sounds like we do.
it's basically a lie. Damask will be playing for the Illini next year.
We'll see. More guys will be leaving. I'm very curious what Sincere does. There were some rumors already this evening about him.
I think he's going.
And some Instagram posts. Nothing confirmed yet.
Yeah, Moretti, Sincere, Dre. Like, if you're a small guard, you in the portal, you just gotta you want to play, and there's no way all three of those guys are like, I'm gonna play a lot next year.
One of them is gonna.
Exactly. So it
has shoes. All right, boys.
Yeah. Moretti's nice to have, though, as a third ball.
Oh, I like Moretti a lot.
Maybe he's a backup.
He can be good. I think he can be good next year.
Dude,
Moretti's going to keep getting better.
We have the Stanford big man, but the Yale big man, Danny Wolf from Glencoe, Illinois. Played for Mac Irvine Fire.
Did he go to New Trier?
He went to a prep school. How is that even possible?
Because he wants high education. I think he's looking at Northwestern and Michigan.
Yeah.
Can he shoot?
Yeah, I think I saw Michigan was very high on him.
Fine. Dusty May have him. He's no Vlad Golden. Let Dusty have him.
That's going to be another Dusty May's, I'm calling it now, another bad hire.
I agree.
One hit wonder.
Probably.
Too obvious.
One hit wonder.
Probably.
Yeah. Dude, how do you in Florida, you play for Florida Atlantic is in what? The conference US? What conference are you in? Some garbage conference.
The American.
Are they American?
As a top 25 team or whatever they were, and you can't even win that conference. And he had all those good players.
They underperformed this year for sure, but they went to a Final Four. So
Davis guy, we need that
John L. Oh, is he portal?
He's good. He's from Gary. He's from Gary, Indiana.
He'll go to Michigan though. Most
you think he'll? Yeah, he'll probably end up in Michigan. Yeah.
He's good. Doug, how about him and Damask?
They lost
on the wings.
Doug went to K-State. Did you see? Yeah. He posted a. Did you see his video?
Doug yeah. Why was Bill Self in his announcement video? K-State didn't make any sense.
Oh, I didn't notice that, but the lyrics and the song he posted for his commitment video were go ahead, Chipop.
It was I know what you're talking about. It was some rap song that right at the start of it says I'm not good at school.
Yeah. and then I saw someone looked up the K-State acceptance rate, and it was like 95 point something percent. It's like, ah, it all makes sense.
Who's going to, yeah. Wait, who are we talking
Best
about?
Best of luck.
Doug McDaniel, transferred to K-State.
All right, Java Men, any last thoughts on season two?
Great season.
Java Men.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad.
Look forward to the Portal pod. Thank you, Brad.
Great job, Brad. Seniors. Great job, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Portal season. Go after it.
ILL.
I agree. All right, boys. Thanks for a great year. Thanks, Illini. Elite Eight, what a blast. We'll be back next year. ILL.
I and I.
Yarr, it's time to walk the plank.